Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and a watch or tab, also on them.
Service plan required for watch or tab. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Taxes was taxing. Now taxes is relaxing when you file for free.
I can file for free? TurboTax Free Edition. Roughly 37% of filers qualify. Simple form 1040 returns only. See if you qualify at TurboTax.com/free. I can file for free.
Now this is taxes. File for free with TurboTax Free Edition and get your maximum refund. No schedules except for earned income tax credit, child tax credit, and student loan interest. See if you qualify at TurboTax.com/free.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, here on a slushy and snowy day here from the greater Starkville area. We had, a couple inches of snow overnight. I'm not a meteorologist, but now it's raining, so everything's kind of getting run off. But thankfully, it's not expected to get below freezing today, so at least the highways should be in good shape. Of course, there's some other people out there dealing with some more serious weather and circumstances out there, and our thoughts and prayers go out to each and every one of them. But nevertheless, we're grateful to be alive and grateful to be Bulldogs and happy to bring you a good show today. And as you notice, we're up early today. I already posted some bones over at jeanspage.com. If you're a subscriber, you can go by and read those. Latest updates on some portal prospects. We'll touch on some of that later in the show. But I'm in exciting times. Big night last night in Humphrey Coliseum. Expecting another big night on Saturday. And we were a little bit concerned, heading into yesterday, what that winter weather would look like. Would that be an issue for our fans coming to the game and getting home? But it appears that everything went okay. Certainly a big W for the Bulldogs. But there's a lot going on. And as we kind of get to the final phase of the portal process, I think State's done pretty well. A couple spots out there, still a little bit, some ebb and flow with some of that stuff, but also, too, a couple spots, too, we may have to address in the spring. So, again, we'll talk about that later in the show. But, really excited about what is to come Saturday evening at Humphrey Coliseum. Hopefully you all can turn out and make it. And, again, the weather conditions should be out of our area by then, and you guys should be able to get here without any issue whatsoever. Let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of the show. Man, I love Bulldog Burger Company. I plan to have some Bulldog Burger Company this weekend. Maybe you should put it on your agenda as well, because you're going to get fed there. You're going to get treated well there. You're going to get great service, great food, at a great price, and a great atmosphere. Not a lot of people can make that claim. Bulldog Burger Company, part of the Eat With Us group. They've been feeding the Golden Triangle for so many years, doing such a great job. They know how to feed folks. And so if you're looking for a dining experience, you're not just looking for something to eat, go in and put your feet under their table. Let them take care of everything. Have the spring rolls as your appetizer. They will make you and everybody around you better looking. In addition to that, you can get a great restaurant quality hamburger, one of the few delicacies we afford ourselves in life. And maybe you're not feeling like a burger, but the kids are, right? Because if you ask the kids, hey, where do y'all want to eat? Let's go to Bulldog Burger Company. Yeah. But you can have that BLT salad. I prefer it grilled. You may like it fried. You can get the sweet heat chicken sliders or those sloppy Joe sliders. They're absolutely outstanding. So many options for you to choose from. Get that chocolate shake to go. You'll be glad you did. You can ride that ride home with a smile. Three great locations to serve you: University Drive in Star Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Whether it's a night out with friends or a night out with family or perhaps a work lunch, look no further than Bulldog Burger Company. They know exactly what to do to ensure that you have a good day when it comes to a dining experience. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. Okay. We discussed on Monday's show it was going to take one of our best efforts of the year to emerge victorious over the number 10 ranked Oklahoma Sooners women's basketball team. And I think for the most part, we got that. Bulldogs come out with a 21-11 advantage after one quarter. That tells me that Sam Purcell and his staff were ready to go. Right? How many times do we talk about that? Well, we weren't ready to play. And that's in any sport, right? You come out there and you get punched in the mouth early, but it was State the one throwing the hooks. And again, 21-11, it just felt like Jerkayla Jordan was going to have a big night. And she did. Now, give Oklahoma some credit. They counter there in the second quarter and make it a 33-32 ball game at the half. Stayed up by one at the break. And then in the third quarter, a very significant quarter as always. You've got the lead. Everybody's going to make some adjustments. How do you contend with that? And we win the third quarter 20-17, and then the fourth quarter ends up being 28-28. And what an exciting last couple of minutes that proved to be. Pretty impressive effort, really, by both teams. And you can see by why Oklahoma has been so highly regarded. But the Bulldogs' will was good. You know, I mean, how many times did it look like State would have an opportunity to pull away or to fold in this ball game? This really wasn't the case. You know, Bulldogs really hang in there and just kind of handle the adversity that the fourth period brought and found a way to make some shots. Guys, we're just over 6 minutes to go. The game is tied at 61-all. And you start thinking, how unfortunate would this be, as well as we played, to lose this ball game? These are the kind of games that stay with you, win or lose. When you play well and win and find a way to get it done, it can be a, you know, launching point to some bigger things. You lose this ball game, it just kind of hangs around you like an anchor all year long. State hits a jumper to go up 63-61 and then pushes it up to 65-61. So we're just over 5:30 to play. State up by four. Oklahoma didn't go away, though. They continue to make some shots and play some good defense. I thought one of the most significant plays in this ball game was right at the five-minute mark. DeBrechapeau knocks down a big three-pointer to give State a five-point lead. And so it's a two-possession game as we dig into 4 minutes here. And again, Oklahoma refusing to go away. But State matching them basket for basket. They get one to cut it to three, and then Jerkayla Jordan takes it right back out to a five-point advantage at 3:40 to go. And then, you know, next thing you know, Reagan Beers, who we talked about her in our preview, you know, that was going to be an interesting matchup for us. It truly was. And give her some credit for being a great player. But it's a 70-67 game as we dip under 3 minutes. We come up on one of the most significant plays in this ball game. We had a bad foul here. They knocked down a couple free throws. And that's the thing, too. When you're trying to salt the game away, you can't allow them to score without the clock running. The clock is your friend when you have the lead. And so it's a one-point game as we go under 2 minutes. And I thought this is probably the most significant shot of the closing stretch. Destiny McFall dribbles in and takes a shot from just inside the free throw line and knocks it down, nothing but net. Gives State a three-point advantage. And you start thinking, okay, one shot can't beat us. That could force overtime. But the reality of it is they can't beat us on one shot here. And lo and behold, they do get the tie here. Sahara Williams, it was her first, and I believe only basket of the game, a three-point shot to tie it. And so under a minute to play, Anaya Russell gets fouled and knocks down both free throws. Free throws very significant for State late in this ball game. You know they're going to foul. You know they're trying to save time. They're trying to make you earn it at the line. And for the most part, the Bulldogs did. Medina Okot gets back to the line, too, after a nice defensive stand by Mississippi State. She makes one of two. You'd like to have made them both to kind of put that thing away, make it a two-possession game with 30 seconds left. But instead, you know, they're in ball possession and have an opportunity to tie this thing up here. Lexi Keys misses a three-point basket with under 30 seconds to play. Okot goes to the line again, makes one of two to make it a, you know, four-point game. So you get the defensive stop. Maybe you didn't convert the free throws you wanted to, but you get a defensive stop. You get a miss by Keys, and then ultimately Medina Okot so big down the stretch. You know, her length really caused them some problems. We talked about Reagan Beers kind of having, you know, an advantage being a wide-bodied player. You wondered how that matchup would play out. But late in this ball game, as Oklahoma began to miss some shots, Medina Okot really doing a nice job on the boards. goes to the line and makes one of two. So, again, it's a four-point game here. And we give up a basket to make it 76-74. And then we kind of had a turnover fest here. You know, we force a turnover. They get a turnover. And it's like this clock just simply wouldn't move. And, of course, there are just so many reviews late in this ball game, and a couple of them I thought was unnecessary. And people would say, but Steve, they're just trying to get it right. Guys, some of these were so bad. Like, you know, the one that went off the Oklahoma player, like she's the only person that got up. The only hand in the air was the Oklahoma player. The pass is high, goes off her hands and out of bounds. The fact that we have to review that tells me that perhaps we need to evaluate who's officiating these games. Desi McFall gets fouled, goes to the line, and makes a couple. You know, makes it a 78-74 game with 20 seconds left. And again, it felt like an eternity, didn't it? Was it just me? You know? So after that big turnover, we got Jerkella Jordan kind of flashing towards the sideline. We throw it to her, and it goes off of her. A little bit of contact there. I think it was a good no call. But they get the ball back. You start thinking, hey, you know, we get that ball in, they got to foul us. We're probably putting this thing away at the line. But Lexi Keys, again, former Oklahoma State cowgirl, knocks down a huge three to make it a one-point game. And it just felt like this is going to be an absolute crazy finish. It proved to be. We get fouled, and again, a chance to push it back out to three. Anaya Russell fouled, makes one of two to make it a 79-77 game. Fortunately, Bulldogs are able to get the stop at the end to make it really matter. And they end up having a foul with 2 seconds left. State makes them both, puts the thing away. So, again, great fortitude from this Bulldog team. But, man, I tell you what, that last 2 minutes, especially those last 20 seconds, felt like an eternity. I don't know how it was for you. That's how it felt for me. Absolutely nuts. And so, a great win for the Bulldogs. And we needed it, desperately needed it. We've talked about how front-loaded the schedule is. So to pick up a win like that, and of course against an Oklahoma team that we think is going to be really good in the league this year, that could be really big come tournament time. I still think this is probably a bubble team for Mississippi State. But, you know, we'll see. Reagan Beers with 19 points to lead Oklahoma. Peyton Volhurst with 15 points in the ballgame. Liz Scott with a dozen. And we talked about, you know, Lexi Keys hit that, knocked down a couple big three-point baskets, and some clutch in her for sure. State, really good job in this ballgame. We mentioned early on how well they did. Oklahoma just 4 of 14 in the opening period. Their most anemic offensive quarter of the ballgame. Jerkella Jordan, 24 points, and late it felt like she was just going to take over. Didn't knock down any threes, but 10 of 17 from the field, and very importantly, 4 of 5 from the line. Pulled down 6 rebounds, only committed one foul, and then 3 turnovers and 3 assists, 4 steals and a block for her. Anaya Russell with a dozen. Off the bench, Dusty McFall, 10 points, of course, none bigger than that 2-point basket late when State simply had to have it. Pretty impressive. As a team, State 7-26 and beyond the arc, 28-71 from the floor. From the free throw line, though, 18-23. And, of course, many of those misses, of those 5 misses, 3 of the 5 came late in those crucial final moments of the ballgame. As a team, State shoot 39.4% and just under 27% from beyond the arc. You know, great game, right? 30 points in the paint, 25 points off turnovers, 10 off second chance, 14 fast break, 22 from the bench. The lead changed hands 11 times. It was tied 8 times. And we knew in order to win this game, we were going to have to make plays late, and we did. And so great, great result for Sam Purcell and the Mississippi State women's basketball team. Super excited for them. They'll be back in action on Sunday on the road at Athens, Georgia. Now, we've talked about this just a little bit. You know, Georgia not really having a great season so far. But anytime that you got to go on the road in this league, you better bring a lunch with you. It could be a very difficult undertaking. And again, we've taken some good teams to Georgia and come home with a loss. But this brand of Bulldogs, maybe not as good as they have been historically. They're 9-8 overall. Open up with a win over North Carolina Central. They beat Houston. They get Furman. They lose to Georgia State. So after a 3-0 start, Now they drop a game at home to Georgia State by 6. They lose to Georgia Tech. That's an opponent in common. Georgia Tech hosted them there in Atlanta and beat the Bulldogs 83-67. They get by Tulsa down in Orlando in the WBCA Showcase. They lose to Penn State by 20. They get Prairie View A&M. You'd expect that to be a bloodletting. It ended up being 17 points, but probably not what you would have expected. And then you come home to Stegman Coliseum, and you lose to Hampton, 76-74. And then you lose to Virginia Tech, 70-61, also at home. They get a win over UNC Greensboro, 59-52. They beat Clemson. Always good to get a Power 5 win. They beat Clemson by 7 out in San Diego, California, as part of that San Diego tournament. And then they lose to Colorado State in the final by 24. They beat Ohio, the Lady Bobcats, 83-50. And then you get into SEC play. You got to go to Nashville, and you get beat pretty well, 108-82. You put some points up, but anytime you give up a century mark in SEC play, it's not good. They go to Florida and lose 73-57. They do take care of Missouri 74-72 last night to earn their first SEC win of the year. So this is a game I expect to win, but let's dig a little bit deeper into the numbers here. And again, you know, they get a win last night kind of quiet.
You're a startup founder. Finding product market fit is probably your number one priority. But to land bigger customers, you also need security compliance. Obtaining your SOC 2 or ISO 27001 certification can open those big doors, but they take time and energy, pulling you away from building and shipping. That's where Vanta comes in. Vanta is the all-in-one compliance solution helping startups get audit ready and build a strong security foundation quickly and painlessly. Vanta automates the manual security tasks that slow you down, helping you streamline your audit. The platform connects you with trusted experts to build your program, auditors to get you through audits quickly, and a marketplace for essentials like pen testing. So whether you're closing your first deal or gearing up for growth, Vanta makes compliance easy. Join over 8,000 companies, including Y Combinator and Techstar startups, who trust Vanta. For a limited time, get $1,000 off Vanta at vanta.com/simplify. That's VANTA.com/simplify for $1,000 off.
It's the noise a little bit. Kind of the same thing for us, too. So both teams picking up their first SEC win. But anytime that you go into a team that's right hovering around 500, you got to go make some things happen. And so, again, we talked about how difficult this first five games was for Mississippi State. And we're thinking, you know, you got to get at least one. Well, you've got one. Now you can get two. And I think this is a very winnable game. But, the Georgia Bulldogs, you know, it's incredible looking at. We talk about, you know, the numbers are the numbers. Like, you're a 9-8 team, right? So you'd expect scoring to be pretty similar. It is. Georgia scored 1,165 points. They've allowed 1,108. So they're outscoring opponents by just over 3 points a game combined. So they've had some blowouts for, some blowouts against. Shooting right at 43%. So that's a respectable number. But from beyond the arc, not bad either, 34%. Had been a great free throw shooting team, just under 70% at 69. It's always nice. Rebounding has been a strength for them. 673 boards pulled down by Georgia and 535 allowed. So they're out-rebounding opponents just over 8. It'll be interesting to see what Okot can do against this team. Allowed 233 assists and then dished out this 217. So not necessarily sharing the ball, great, but also too defensively things just hadn't been maybe what you expect them to be. They have turned it over 288 times. That's 25 times more than their opponents. So a negative 1.5 margin per game. Steals, 134 for them, 109 against. Let's look at some individual numbers here too. I know many of you will be tuning in. All right, so Damari Flournoy leading them with 12.6 points a game. Mia Wolfuck has been a part-time starter for them, averaging 12.5. But it's interesting, a top 100 prospect, coming out of high school. But, kind of getting back in the flow a little bit. She's played a little bit, has played against Florida, played really in all three SEC games, started two of the three, didn't start against Missouri. But, it's interesting, maybe people have injuries that kind of linger or whatever. But Yeah, this is a player that was a big recruit for them and has done some decent things. Trinity Turner, well, with 12.4. So you get three players averaging over a dozen points a game. You're pretty balanced scoring in that respect. But, she's a 5'6 freshman from Orlando out of Dr. Phillips. We've recruited some high school football players out of there over the years, too. Hadn't always worked out, but we used to be very, very, very aggressive out there in Orlando. Asia Avenger with that 9.8 points per game. She has started all but one game this year. She is a senior guard out of Cerritos, California. It's always interesting to see where people come from. But, she was a transfer, played in the Mountain West for a while. Just part of the deal. Nowadays, we don't really know who's going to play until the season starts. Kind of how things work. But, you look at the three-point attempts. We talked about Flournoy. Leads a team with 98 attempts and knocked down 39 baskets and shooting almost 40%. So that's something we're going to have to really watch there. Trinity Turner, 21 of 76 from three, and Asia Avenger, 15 of 43. Summer Davis, another part-time starter, 18 of 51. So she will send it skyward. She's played in 16 games, has made seven starts, but averaging just 5.4 points per game. Amaya Evans is the leading rebounder for them. She's pulled down 109, just right at seven a game when it's all said and done. But, she is a 6'2 forward out of Pensacola. So I'm curious to see kind of how they match up down in the post. And we'll see how things go. But, again, very, very significant win for Mississippi State. To take care of Oklahoma. And, again, we think that's one that's going to help, build the resume as we get a little bit closer. But I think all of you feel like I do. You find a way to go win this game at Georgia, and you should win. And all of a sudden, you're even after four. And, again, the schedule really kind of eases up a little bit for us. I mean, there are no easy games in the Southeastern Conference. But probably the level of difficulty changes a good bit once you get through, this opening stretch. Because you win at Georgia, and then you're 2-2 in the league headed to Tennessee on Thursday. And going into Thompson Bowling, going into the house that Pat Summitt built is never an easy undertaking. You know they're going to have fan support. They're ranked in the top 15 again. That's going to be a difficult game. But if you get that one, and then you get Ole Miss coming here, it's a rivalry game, and Sam's always been able to kind of get us up to play in those games. You find a way to get that one, and then you're even and kind of getting into a thinner part of your schedule. And so you got a chance to kind of make a move. We still think this team has a chance to finish in the middle or perhaps the top half of the league, but you're going to have to win the games that you're expected to win. You certainly can't just go out there and just kind of hope for the best. One of the things that I think that helps us is that we do get Auburn twice on the schedule, and Auburn not one of the better teams in the league this year. So we got to find a way to win both of those games. We need to sweep those as a home and home. And it's interesting, you only get Ole Miss one time this year in the regular season, and that's going to be in Starkville, so you don't have to make that return trip to Oxford. Which hadn't always been the greatest places to play in recent years. When Vic was here, we'd just go up there and take over the pavilion and make them like it. And then they would have to find a way to get creative with ticketing to try to ensure that they maintain some type of home court advantage. But, I really believe once you get through, January 19th, you get through that Ole Miss game, these next three I think are very important. You win two of these next three, that puts you in a really good position as you get into, again, kind of an easier part of the schedule. That trip to Baton Rouge is never fun. But, you don't have a ton of ranked opponents left. Of course, we'll get Vic here, February 27th. But, outside of that, it's just, you go to LSU, ranked. Kim Mulkey's always going to have a great team. You got Alabama that is 18th, 19th. That game is here. And then you got the Texas game. That game is here too. And so, again, only one road game after you get through Tennessee against currently ranked opponents, and that's going to be at LSU, which is kind of always going to be the case. And so we don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. We want to enjoy this and, again, congratulate Sam Purcell and everybody involved with Mississippi State women's basketball. And we'll get ready to go play another one. So, yeah, very significant win. Appreciate all the fans who turned out last night to come support the Bulldogs. I know many of you were kind of concerned. Hey, I know that I can get there, but what's the roads going to look like as we leave? Because we started to get some reports, that there was already snow in the Delta right around game time, and there was starting to be some precipitation more in central Mississippi. And so many of you, I know, you came with that anxiety in mind. So hopefully you guys made it back home without any issues. Certainly excited about the dub. All right, time for today's top 10 list. As always, brought to you by closewithblair.com. That's 601-500-2344. 601-500-2344. The reason you need that number is at some point soon, you're going to buy a home. Whether it be your first home, your next home, or your retirement home, Blair Chandler is there to serve you. Get his 24 years of experience and expertise working for you. He can get you to the closing table when so many others can't. They don't tell you that when you're young, but at some point you're going to need to have a reputable mortgage loan originator in your life. Let me highly encourage you to solicit the services of Blair Chandler. He is a Bulldog through and through, rides the wave of emotion just like you and I. Season ticket holder in multiple sports. It's a place here in town. He doesn't discriminate. Hey, he'll work with anybody. And the truth of the matter is, you need somebody that can get the job done. There's a lot of people kind of learning on the job, right? Nothing against them. But when you're going to trust somebody as important as your mortgage, stick with an expert like Blair Chandler. Again, 601-500-2344. And visit him at closewithblair.com. That's C-L-O-S-E with Blair, B-L-A-I-R.com. All right, you may have heard a lot of talk out there that we might annex Canada. We've had some great Canadian imports over the years. Pamela Anderson, Shannon Tweed, I could go on and on. But nevertheless, Canada's a little different place. Some changes up there as Justin Trudeau, the Prime Minister, resigns. A lot of talk about, hey, we got to do some things that make sense for America. I don't think this happens, but, Canada's a sovereign place. I think Canada would probably be in better shape as part of the United States, but that, that's my opinion. I'm sure they would disagree. But nevertheless, that's been in the news, and so I thought, hey, let's kind of take a tip from the news, and we'll work ahead here, and let's look at the top rock bands of all time from Canada. Bryan Adams is from Canada. He didn't make our list because it's not a band, but as far as performers go, great. Alanis Morissette also from Canada. Some honorable mentions before we get into our top 10. Monster Truck, I love those guys. I do. Saw them open for Alter Bridge down at the Sanger Theater. Loved them. Had already heard a couple tracks, downloaded a couple albums. My favorite track from them is Don't Tell Me How to Live. Love it. Love it. That's one of those songs that makes you feel like you could just kick a hole in the earth. Tragically Hip. April Wine, Sum 41. Some of you thought they were West Coaster and California kids. They're not. They're from Canada. And then Sweeney Todd. Does that sound familiar? Yeah, Sweeney Todd. It should. Well, Sweeney Todd was kind of a glam band, put a couple albums together, had some success. They're back together now. Nick Gilder had the big hit in the late 70s with Hot Child in the City. And if Sweeney Todd's name sounds familiar to you, if you're a fan of The Office, it's the play that Andy was in when he was trying to court Erin back, and he was in the Sweeney Todd production. Great show. Great show. But here's your top 10 bands from Canada. In my estimation, you may disagree, and that's okay. What's life without a little whimsy? Number 10. A band that I'm not a huge fan of, you guys know when we did a top 10 list, Dana did the top 10 list, and she was back and forth from Knoxville back then, finishing up her travel nursing career, thank God. But number 10, Theory of a Dead Man, I went with By the Way, and I've talked about this on the show before. She uncovered this in her preparation for the Theory list, that Chris Daughtry, yeah, the famous and talented Chris Daughtry actually sings backup on this. I had never picked up on that before. But now every time I hear the song, By the Way, all I can hear is Chris Daughtry. in the background. Great, great track. Number nine, some of you love this band. And I'll tell you, this was a weird time in music when this band hit the scene. I didn't really care for this era in rock music, in American rock music. Even this band is from Canada. Everybody wants to make it big in the States. But it's a band called Simple Plan. And we're going to go with I'm Just a Kid is our number nine track today. That whole Starbucks popular punk, radio-friendly punk, I just didn't get it. And I didn't think a lot of those bands were especially talented, but they had some catchy tracks, and Simple Plan, one of the better bands from that era. I know many of you loved that that pop-punk movement. I did not, but I get it. I'm not going to be a music snob about it. If you dig them, you dig them. But I thought Simple Plan probably kind of rose above some of those bands, and there was a bunch of them. Number eight, a band that maybe you have forgotten about, those of you that are fans of the, you know, 80s hard rock, hair metal type scene. These guys weren't really metal, though. They were more like rock radio friendly. I've got one of their albums. I can't remember which one it is. And the fact that I can't remember will kind of, you know, illustrate the fact that, the influence they've had on my listening choices. But a band called Honeymoon Suite, and probably the best track from them is a great track called Feel It Again. Now, they did have like some synthesizers and things like that. So again, they didn't have a real edge. They were kind of just pretty boys with long hair, kind of adding some guitar in to some top 40 type music. But Honeymoon Suite, great vocalist. Maybe you'll have fun with it. I don't know. Number seven, and I think from the rest of the way, there's going to be bands you know or bands that you should know. Number seven is Bachman Turner Overdrive. BTO is their more affectionately called. And we're going to go with You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet. That's your number seven track today. Could have gone with Taking Care of Business, but kind of tough to take care of business on a day like today. When there's snow on the ground. And be careful out there, kids. Be careful as you ride around out there today. Don't take chances. Don't get out unless you have to. And it's not because we're not tough in the South. We're the toughest there are. But our infrastructure is not really built to handle all this stuff, right? People are like, oh, I can't believe you guys stay home in the snow. Well, we don't get snow, you know. So our road system isn't always equipped to handle that. So we're just being safe, not being soft. Okay, number six, a band that had a huge following mainly in the North. They never really kind of caught on in the South, but they did, you know, back when we used to listen to Z-Rock 106.7 out of Jackson, Mississippi, the rock of Mississippi. They would occasionally get some airtime there. It's a band called Triumph, and you got to go with this one. I dig this song. I really do. And if you don't know Triumph, I would encourage you to go back. If you like the classic rock sound, maybe go back and listen to that. They weren't a metal band. They weren't hair metal either. They were just a rock band. But it's Lay It on the Line. Great track. Great vocal delivery. I think you're going to have fun with that one. Number five. The only band in the history of American rock and roll that can even come close to Shinedown, who has the most number one tracks in the history of American rock. Did you know that? Did you know that? It used to be Van Halen, and then Shinedown passed them. The number two band is 3 Days Grace. Love those guys. I like the Adam Gauthier version better. You know, they got back together and collaborated on a track here recently. But one of my favorite 3 Days Grace songs. Off the Transit of Venus album, it's The High Road. Absolutely love that track, man. And that's how it opens up. I told you I was hurt, bleeding on the inside. You know, with so many things that that song tells such a incredible story. You know, things were not great. And then I took the high road in, I took the low road out. It's a great, great track. I think great vocal, too. All right, number four. Now, this is a band, too, that I remember being a kid when they would like sell the records on TV. Do you remember that? Many of you are too young to know that. They used to have these commercials on television because we didn't have the internet. We're all from the 1900s. So on cable TV, advertising was somewhat cheap in the beginning. And so these record companies at times would sell records on television. You'd have to call in or send your self-addressed stamped envelope with your money order to KTEL or whoever it was who was putting these things together. And I remember how much I enjoyed seeing the commercial for the Guess Who. And I was like, hey, where are these guys? You know, I don't understand. Canadians, right? And they've had so many big hits. But I think we're going to go with American Woman today at number four. Made famous again by the great Lenny Kravitz, who covered it, you know, for the Austin Powers. I guess it was The Spy Who Shagged Me. Number two, the second, I think that's the second movie in the series. And I love Mike Myers. I do. And I love Austin Powers. I think the whole thing is so sophomorically silly. And life is so serious as it is. You need to watch good comedies when you can. And what's so funny is I saw this interview that Rich Eisen did with Rob Lowe. And he talked about how Mike Myers was a comedic genius and, you know, the whole get in my belly and all that kind of stuff. That was all an ad lib. You know, all that stuff is so interesting to me. But, yeah, American Woman from the Guess Who, number four. Number three, a band that maybe hadn't had its notoriety. But I'll tell you this, guys, for those of us that were living and enjoying rock radio in the early to mid-80s, before things got really hairy, Loverboy with Mike Reno. And I recently watched Footloose again with my daughter-in-law who had never seen the movie. Because, you know, my grandson's name is going to be Warren Logan Robertson, and we're going to call him Ren. Yeah, how about that? How about that? A little ode to Ren McCormick, the rebel. But Mike Reno, you know, had, you know, Almost Paradise. Huge hit. That Footloose soundtrack was great. Had a handful of, you know, top 40 hits on it. But Loverboy was a really, really good band. And again, I don't know if they get enough credit. I don't even know what those guys are doing these days. But the reality of it is there was a time in our lives that everybody knew Loverboy. And if memory serves me correct, they got into a little bit of trouble here, you know, several years ago. I'm going to look this up while we talk here. But Loverboy got in a little bit of trouble, which I think is really kind of silly. Yeah, I remember being a kid, like when you, like people in high school, You thought that they were like adults. That's how it felt. And you go back and you think about, you know, how life was back then. People got married at a much younger age. But on the Get Lucky album, like the girl in the red leather pants was like underage. And some people are like, hey, you know, they sexualized this teenage girl. Times were much different back then. It's a much different time. But we're going to go with Loving Every Minute of It, which is a song that I think we should play at Duty Noble Field. But that's just me. Number two, we could not talk about Canadian rock. And many of you probably thought this was going to be number one. But no, it's not. You can't talk about the Rock of Canada without talking about Nickelback. And one of the things that I would encourage you to do too is to be honest about Nickelback. It's so incredible to me. Like all of a sudden, like when the internet became a thing and memes and things like that, it's like, okay, well, bacon all of a sudden had a huge boost in sales because everybody professed their love for bacon. And there was all this stuff about zombies as The Walking Dead became a thing. And then it became a thing to joke about Nickelback. Oh, well, he listens to Nickelback. Well, I do because I like rock and roll. And if you can see the footage of Nickelback shows these days, they're selling out arenas everywhere. So some of you are lying. It's true. Like, I don't listen to Nickelback, but yeah, you'll sneak off to the show, maybe put on a COVID mask and go in there and just enjoy the show and sing along to Rockstar. They did get a bit overexposed, though, to be honest with you. It's like Nickelback had so many hits, and so Chad Kroeger and those guys kept writing songs, so the record company kept churning them out, and they got a little bit overplayed and overexposed, and so there was some angst about that. But to suggest that Nickelback wasn't or isn't a great band, it's just disingenuous. And, you know, if you want to tease people for listening to Nickelback, that's cool, whatever. You know, I think it says more about you, but I think you're being dishonest. You'll line up and talk about Nirvana. What a joke that was. But we're going to go with a great track. I could have picked so many here. But the great track, If Today Was Your Last Day, and the video for this is phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal, in the words of Ben Howland. Who I checked on yesterday, too. I had somebody, I reached out to somebody and said, hey, somebody hit me up. I think it was Heath Hopkins and said, hey, do you know what's going on with Ben Howell, all these fires out there? I checked in with a couple people, and they goes, "Hey, Ben and his family are fine. They don't know any other circumstances, but Ben and those guys are okay." And you probably want to know that, but you know, things can always change. But it does appear that they're okay. But if today was your last day, in thinking about all the things that are happening in the world these days, I thought it's a good one. And I live a life of gratitude. Number one, because I'm fortunate to be here. And I do what I can to help other people as best I can. I truly do. And not just with recovery, but with life. And I shared this yesterday, too, on Facebook. Again, I'm a very proud person. And I don't ask for help very often, which is one of those things that I think my wife probably doesn't always like about me. Well, I think she likes that I'm self-sufficient, but I'm a proud person. I don't like to ask for help. But yesterday I got up and I got ready to head to the fast break up here and get me a plate lunch. You know, that's one of the secrets of Starkville, is you can go get a great plate lunch at a couple different places around here out in the sticks. So I made that trip up to fast break, and before I left, I noticed the car, Ruby, was a little bit sheepish, like she didn't want to get out in cold weather. And then I get to fast break, I get ready to leave, and she won't start. And then I started thinking, you know what, this has been coming for a little while. Now that I think about it, she has been a little bit tougher to start as of late. Battery died on me. So I've started dealing with that. And then one of the guys that, I forget his name, and so please forgive me, sir, but I've seen him all over town, like, doing the chips, and he's given me a couple of bags of pork rinds over the years. He backs the truck up there, gets jumper cables out, wouldn't work, and in the middle of us working on this, another Boneyard listener, I think his name was Josh, but I'm not sure, but he comes up. And he's got a jump box, and we try to make it work. And between the three of us, we just couldn't get it done. I mean, the battery was dead. It just wasn't going to work. But I was so touched, man. And in those moments, you know, maybe you don't express your sincerity and your gratitude enough. But, man, those two guys are busy, man. They have life to do. And they stopped and took, you know, several minutes of their day out to try to help me. And I just said, "Hey guys, don't worry about it. Listen, it's clearly not going to work. I'll figure this thing out." And didn't have a socket set with me. I said, "Well, you know what I'll do? I'll disconnect this battery, and I'll get Dana or one of my friends to come get me and run me around the gateway, and I'll grab a battery and come back and reinstall it. We'll be back on the road." Couldn't get the cable off, and I was like, "What are we going to do?" And so went over to Gateway and talked to Terry and Mitch and those guys. And Terry told one of the guys, Austin, great young man, said, "Hey, y'all go over there and get him taken care of." And they go over there and, you know, hey, just to show that it's not just a measure of me as a man, they had trouble getting that cable off too. But eventually they did. We get it back. They get everything taken care of. And Stan the man from Campus Bookmark, Stan is the friend that just happened to show up in the middle of my calamity and said, "Let me help you." And so for a proud person like me that wants to be so incredibly self-sufficient, I needed help yesterday. It's true. And it seems like a minor thing. It's not a minor thing to me, because I had two Boneyard listeners and then Stan the man and then the great folks at Gateway that took care of this. You say, "You know, Steve, it's just a battery." It's bigger than that. It's about neighbors, and it's about community, and it's about taking care of each other. And it's one of the things that I've talked to people about before, about living in Starkville, is like, I've got an insurance guy. You know, I've got a mortgage guy. You know, I've got a tire guy. You know, I've got all these things. When I need stuff, there's a community of people here to help me. I know who to call when I need something. I don't have to go get on the Yellow Pages. I don't have to go Google. I know. I know who my mechanics are. They've worked on my vehicles extensively when I've needed it. And so that's the thing about Starkville, and I'm sure in small town Mississippi and other places around the country, you probably feel the same way. But there's a reliance on each other. And I'm a guy that, again, maybe it's an ego, whatever. I don't like to ask for help. But yesterday when I needed help, I didn't even have to ask. Because that's so many people willing to step up. I think that's one of the things that makes Starkville so amazing. I've never lived anywhere like this. I'm just going to tell you. Maybe your experiences are different. I've never lived anywhere that people treated each other with such class and dignity and just kind of had a heart for service. It's what makes Starkville great. And I've said before, even if Mississippi State wasn't here, I'd want to be here because of the people. So thank you to those folks. And again, I think if today was your last day, it's kind of like that, right? That, I think that that's the spirit of that song is about helping other people, you know. Number one, though, I think this is an easy decision, and maybe you agree, and I hope that you do. But number one, it's got to be Rush. Now, Geddy Lee's voice does kind of bother me a little bit, to be honest with you. And I guess maybe it's because of all those years of hearing people just kind of grunt it out. But Rush is the premier rock band from Canada. They're retired now. Of course, we lost the great Neil Peart. And we're going to go with Limelight is number one. And Neil was also a great poet, and you can find some of his published work out there, too. So if you're a big fan of Rush, and maybe you hadn't looked into that, maybe you should. But that's your top 10 list for today. And guys, thank you so much for your support of the top 10 list and your support of each other. We are in it. We're in a shared experience. And we can make life a little bit easier on each other with just a little bit of effort. Because at some point, that's going to be you. And it's one of those things, too, I take a lot of pride in, too. You know, like I'm at a gas station and somebody walks up to me and says, hey, man, can you spare a dollar? And if I have it, I give it to them. I do. And there have been times that when we were out in New Mexico, you know, I'm out there and these people are out there just, you know, at that complex by the city and the little municipal park. And it's 100 degrees out there. And I just went and got some water and brought it to those people. And I remember the day that I brought that case of water out there to those people in that park. And this guy who was a police officer, he goes, hey, that's pretty cool, you know. Why did you feel led to do that? I said, man, someday I'm going to be that guy that needs a drink. I'm going to be that guy that one day needs a dollar. That could be me. I've been that person before. And I don't ever forget that. I'm never, ever, 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 ever too accomplished to help somebody else that needs it. And it's like I can't give enough. That's how I feel. Like whether it be of my time, my resources, or whatever, there are people out there that are truly struggling in the world. It's true. And there were times that I was, right? And there may be a time that I am again. And so I try to spread as much kindness and put as much, you know, good karma out there. And I know some people always don't like when I say that. It's just easier to say that. But yeah, you reap what you sow. You put good seeds in the ground, you're going to have a good harvest. And I firmly believe that. But I think it's just one of those things that it's so incredibly important to do things for people that and expect nothing in return. And I could speak about this for a long time. And I'll tell you one quick story. I'm trying to remember where I was. I can't remember. But I was in Charlottesville, Virginia. That's where I was. I was in Charlottesville, Virginia for baseball. And I was walking in a gas station, I think a 7-Eleven out there, and this guy hollered out, and he goes, hey man, love the tattoos. So I went over and said hello, because when you have tattoos, you have friends, you know. And it was a guy that was basically a hobo. Like, he had seen the country as a hobo. He just kind of got out there and did odd jobs and stuff, and, you know, jumped on trains and rid around the country, and he had this companion with him, this girl, and they weren't a couple. They were just traveling companions, according to them. And she asked me, she goes, you seem like a cool guy. Will you get us something to eat? I get emotional even thinking about that, you know. And so sure enough, I went in there and I, you know, got him both a hot dog with all the trimmings and brought it out and gave it to him. And this is not to praise me, but to explain that there are people out there that need us. And you know what? That $10 it cost me to get them a drink and a snack and a hot dog, you know what? I'm going to make that back. But the thing that I think about is what does that do for their day and for the next day and for the next day? And so, you know, we were in a bad spot and God sent us a guy who wanted to buy us a hot dog. And it seems like a minor thing, but it's not. And so I just encourage you to look for random acts of kindness that you can participate in. It's an incredibly important thing in life, I think, because, again, this is a shared experience. We're all on the same rock that's circling the sun. It's all going to end someday. But I want to do what I can to help as many people as I can. And I hope that you'll join me in that. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. Man, I love Campus Bookmart. I have for a long time. I love Miss Kathy Brown. I love the whole crew down there. Every time I go in, I get a hug. Maybe you don't, but I do. I love the level of service. I love the fact that everybody there cares about Mississippi State people. It's true. They know what true maroon looks like, too. So when you go buy merchandise from them, it's going to be official, right? You go buy something off one of these Facebook groups, next thing you know, you get your kids walking around in crimson Mississippi State shirts, and everybody's picking on them. You don't need to make life more difficult on them. Get the real McCoy, and you can get it at Campus Bookmart. So what are you looking for? Apparel, gift ideas, knickknacks for the home, tailgating supplies. There's always so many great things that you can buy there. And I wish I could win a lottery and go in there and just buy it all up, right, and just hand it out to people, right? It's great. I love doing business with people that are Mississippi State people, and nobody knows Mississippi State merch better than Campus Bookmart. So be sure and check them out next time you're in town. If you can't make it to town, we'd love for you to support the greater Starkville businesses. You can do so online at Campus Bookmart. We're going to campusbookmart.net. And by being a Loyal Boneyard listener, you get a phrase that pays. That is BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Roberts. And that gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than 75 bones, absolutely incomplete. Again, that's campusbookmart.net. Okay. All right, let's get to it. We're playing Kentucky. Now, if I remember correctly, they've beaten us 18 of the last 19. We beat them in the SEC tournament here a few years ago. This has been the measuring stick for Mississippi State greatness over the years. It has been. Now, we've had some years, too, that we just kind of had to endure that, you know, playing them. It seemed like Ben Howland had to play them like twice a year every year. It felt that way, you know. But this is a big, big opportunity because we feel awfully proud of Christiane's team, and we have a lot of confidence in them. As well, we should. And again, so impressive. You know, we talked about the Memphis game, and that was really a sign of what could be to come. And we almost forget this. Like, Pitt was ranked 18th in the country. We absolutely annihilated them. You know, a few moons have passed since then. It's almost like you forget. Then you blister South Carolina, and you go and beat Vanderbilt and give them their first home loss of the year. And again, we led by as many as 22. Yeah, it got a little bit sloppy late, but we found a way to get things done. And when the game was on the line, Cam Matthews, Claude O'Harris, Josh Hubbard all stepped up. Now, this Kentucky team, ranked number 6 in the country. Of course, they lost earlier this week. Let's take a look and see how they got there. And I think I said it, I may have even said that John Calipari is the coach. He's not. Mark Pope is. Calipari, of course, is at Arkansas. But, you know, some people begin to kind of be, you know, institutions. It's still a weird thing that, you know, Kentucky people were kind of like, oh, we're never going to get over the hump with him. Let's just make a move. They did, and he ends up landing at Arkansas. Of course, they lose to Ole Miss last night in their SEC opener. Kentucky, though, 12-3 on the year. They are 0-2 in true road games. Now, granted, the quality of those road games have been really good. And then 2-1 on a neutral floor. So 10-0 at home, but 2-3 away from Rupp Arena. Let's go back and take a look here. Get through these exhibitions. They opened up blasting Wright State, as they should. They get Bucknell 100-72. And then in Atlanta in State Farm Arena, in the State Farm Champions Classic, they get Duke and beat them by 5. And Kentucky does a great job with non-conference scheduling for the most part. They'll have a few marquee matchups in there. They get Lipscomb by 29. They get Jackson State 101-59. Western Kentucky, 87-68. Georgia State, 105-76. You look at this and say, man, Steve, they are just kind of rolling through this thing and just steamrolling people. And they got a dub over Duke on a neutral floor on top of that. Well, then lo and behold, they lose at Clemson, 70-66. They go to Gonzaga and win there by 1. the house that Mark Few built. They get Colgate 78-67 in Lexington. They probably didn't expect that. They blast Louisville 93-85. They lose to Ohio State in Madison Square Garden, one of those neutral side games, and get beat pretty well, 85-65. We talked about it. You know, Auburn destroyed Ohio State. They get Brown, and then we get an SEC play, and it is a barn burner of a game last Saturday, and Kentucky gets Florida 106-100 there in Rupp. And you know, I watched a little bit of the ending of that ball game, and you know, they're not scared to take the big shot. And then they go to Stegman on Tuesday and get beat by Georgia 82-69. Incredible, right? Absolutely incredible when you go back and think about that aspect of it. You go up and put 106 on a great team like Florida, or a really good team like Florida, and then you go to Georgia, play a good Georgia team, and get handled pretty good there. So, you know, what can we expect? I think we're as good as Kentucky. And I think this team, especially playing this team at home with you guys in attendance, I think Kentucky's in for a tough night. People have to learn to win on the road. And, of course, they've not been great on the road. It's still early, small sample size there. But, they're putting up some points and probably allowing more points than you would normally expect from a Kentucky team. But they're averaging right at 89 a game and giving up about 74. We do a pretty good job of keeping people under their season average. And I think we're probably going to have to do that in order to win this game. They're shooting right at 48% at Doggle Hunt, allowing just 41%. They've been 36% from beyond the arc, allowing 28%. So they're knocking down about 10 threes a game, allowing 7.5. 75% from the free throw line. You know, so pretty well-rounded when it comes to scoring. Pulling down 614 rebounds, and maybe that hadn't been the strength it normally is. They've given up almost 550. So they're out-rebounding opponents by just over 4 per game. Dishing out 276 assists, but only allowing 179. So, 6.5 plus for Kentucky. They've turned it over just 142 times, so under 10 a game, and forcing just over 11, which is interesting to me. You know, the Kentucky teams are ideally one of the more athletic teams in the country. They have gotten their hands on some balls on steals at 110 of those. They've only turned it over 77 times by way of steal. 73 blocks, 441 against. Look at some individual numbers here. It's so interesting when you begin to look at this stuff here because of the fact that you talk about a balanced team. They have five players currently averaging double figures, and then the sixth, Amari Williams, 9.9. That's pretty incredible. Now, Kobe Brea has played in all 15 games with just one start, primarily coming off the bench, averaging over a dozen points a game. It's an impressive-looking team. And it appears they do have some depth, too. I mean, you've got a lot of players that are playing significant minutes in these games. You know, let me count here together. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six players have played in all 15 games, and then Brandon Garrison played in 14. Colin Chandler has played in a dozen. Travis Perry's played in a dozen. So they're playing a lot of people. And I think from a depth standpoint, for the first time, maybe in a long time, we can match up. You know, we should have won the game last year. Remember that? Josh Hubbard hits the big three to tie it, and then we give up a basket right there just in front of the buzzer to lose by two. So I think you learn from that, and I think it's going to be a raucous environment, as you guys know, but I think it's so incredibly important, you know, for us to get off to the good start. Kentucky's going to make a run. They're very talented, well-coached team. Everybody knows this. That's one of the most important things about this is, you know, when you have a challenge like Kentucky, you can't get too high, you can't get too low because the game is long. Now, if you get in there and you start taking ill-advised shots and trying to do too much, you can put yourself in a situation that they can run away from you. Now, looking at three-point numbers here, Kobe Brea, 47 of 95, Jackson Robinson, 28 of 95. You know, so they put it in the air. They do. And got half dozen guys with double-digit plus three-point made baskets. So we're going to have to defend the perimeter well, but you know, we got to get on the glass. And I think Keyshawn Murphy is a key in this ballgame. I think he may be the most important thing in this ballgame from a rebounding standpoint and a defensive standpoint. And just kind of getting out, running the floor, making them play our game. But, yes, I expect Mississippi State to win this game. And I know that's a crazy thing when you think, you know, Steve, it's Kentucky. It's just kind of what we do. I love this team, and I think this is the Chris Jans moment. And you say, but, Steve, you know, we've had some big things. You know, we beat Tennessee twice last year in the tournament and in the regular season. Yes, we did. But this has kind of been, you know, the albatross. Right, this has been the golden calf for Mississippi State, Kentucky, over the years, right? That's the thing that I think about. You know, how many times have we had to beat them and the officials? So if we can get out of the gate and not put ourselves in a situation where we get Cam Matthews in foul trouble, because Cam's going to be big, going to be really, really big here. I think everybody kind of sees it for what it is. But it should be a special night in Humphrey Coliseum. And I think when you begin to kind of break this thing down, you talk about matchups and things of that nature. Basketball is about matchups. There's really not much question about that. But we're going to have to score. You know, Kentucky, one of the highest scoring offenses in the country. And what was it, about a half dozen times they've scored 100 points or more. Now, granted, the competition wasn't always the best. But and there have been times, too, we could run the score up on people, too, but we don't. But I think when you break this thing down, you begin to kind of think about, you know, what needs to happen for State to win. Well, you got to make shots, got to stay out of foul trouble. And that's not a hot take. But the reality of this is this is not even about an individual matchup. I don't think it's about one player. I think it's about Mississippi State rising to the moment. That's how I feel about it. And maybe you see it a little bit differently. But I think this is really more about Mississippi State growing up and Mississippi State kind of seeing what's in front of them. And I think we have such good leaders on this team. And we have guys that understand what it takes to win big SEC games, that's going to be a difference. And everybody on that Kentucky team last year probably understands how fortunate they were to get out of that game with a victory. And so we'll get their best shot, but you know, you start looking through odds and things of that nature there. You know, 3.5 points. I just don't think it boils down that way. I think Mississippi State has to embrace the moment and grow up as a basketball program and to prove that they are among the elites in the Southeastern Conference and in the nation. Because you know as well as I do, there's some voters out there, you know what, they're just thinking, Kentucky will win this thing. You want to change the perception of the program, you go beat Kentucky. And we certainly can. And I think we're going to. I think it'll be a close ball game. I think we'll have to make some free throws late. You know, Kentucky will make some big shots late. I just think our defensive pressure and the way that we force people to defend and eat up the shot clock. I mean, how many times have you seen it where it's like, I mean, you know, next thing, it's like 10 seconds to go on the clock before they even really begin to run a play because we do such a good job defending. I think defense wins this ball game. I won't be surprised if we don't win, but I am expecting us to win because I think this is just the moment for Chris Jans. I think this is that moment when you realize, you know what, Mississippi State is for real. And I think a lot of that kind of stems from the fact that we did such a great job in the offseason. You know, you get Hub back without any drama. Cam comes back. You've got a young nucleus of some other guys that are kind of can be role players for you. But in addition to that, I think you bring in guys like Riley Kugel, who didn't have a good game against Vanderbilt. I think he will come out and be very deliberate on Saturday. I think the pieces are there for Mississippi State to win this game. And again, I'll say it again. I expect Mississippi State to win against Kentucky. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle when you're getting a large group together. Six bedrooms, two baths. You're going to have a great time there. It's great to have everybody under one roof. And the older I get, the more that matters to me, to have all my children and grandchildren together where they can kind of enjoy each other. Nothing better than than seeing, you know, my granddaughters be doted on by their uncle and their aunts. Super cool to be able to see that. And to be able to make that happen for my family was probably the best part of the holidays. Make something special happen for your family or your friend group by booking a stay at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Now, Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, and their Facebook page will come up. You can find it yourself very easy. You can peruse all the amenities available to you at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. It's just out there past the Highlands, right off 182, just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. You can do your tailgating right there. Save yourself a lot of time, trouble, and aggravation. Just tailgate there, drive to the game, come home. And it's a lot less fuss, shall we say. Now, when you Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, their Facebook page is going to pop up, and then some booking options as well. You can book through Airbnb, you can book through VRBO, completely up to you. However, if you book through the Evolve website, I can get you a promo code of BSR10. That's Beautiful Steve Robertson and the number 10, BSR10, gets you 10% off your stay. How cool is that? Just saving some money by listening to this show. And I can tell you, that place has been really, really busy since they began advertising with us. And so you need to take the leadership role in your family or your friend group and you book the trip. Get everybody together and say, hey, here's the deal. We're going to go stay there. They got a full-service kitchen. They got the wet bar, that great back porch area, the fire pit. We had a blast, and you will too. Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Be sure and check it out today. All right, let's give you a little portal update. Breaking news this morning, Zach Crisler, former Illinois offensive lineman from Crystal Springs, Mississippi, by way of Capaya Academy, has signed with Colorado. Now, he was announced as a Colorado commitment a couple days ago. He had contact with Mississippi State yesterday because he had not signed. We are told now he is officially signed. It will be a Colorado Buffalo. And so will no longer be on the Mississippi State portal radar. Yeah, it's true. And so we move on, right? And so we still got to find an offensive lineman somewhere. I'd prefer that to be a tackle. If you can get a guard or a tackle that has some flex, and Crisler did, he's a guy that can play guard or perhaps right tackle. You feel pretty good about Albert Reese and Luke Work coming back, but you just can't count on just two tackles. And, of course, Reese is a guy that can slide inside and play guard for us if needed. But, yeah, still working through some options there, and I think it's important to kind of understand we're not going to get everybody, but, you know, the Crisler guy came in, visited. We never really got a great read on him and what he may do. When he interviewed with Jacob Bain, he said he planned to take a visit to Pitt. And then that evening, it was announced that he was going to commit to Colorado. And I'm told that his mom was kind of enamored with Deion Sanders. You know, and that's a very, very, very magnetic personality. And you look at what they've done in recent years, you know, especially this year. You know, last year was kind of up and down. This year, things are better. But it's pretty clear that Deion plans to stay for at least another year. And now Zach Crisler will be a part of that program. So we move on. Simple as that. So where are we? Well, Aiden Williams, we fully expect to get him. And as I shared on Gene's page this morning, UNLV and Dan Mullen still trying to get in there and get him in. I don't think he goes to UNLV. I know they're trying to get him in for a visit. And a lot of these young people are like, hey, you know, we can go visit Vegas. How cool would it be to go visit Vegas, even if I ultimately go somewhere else? He has not signed yet. If he had signed, he would not be able to take other visits. So that's something that we'll monitor throughout the day. I think we'll get resolution on that today. As I told you guys over Gene's page this morning, expected to get clarity on Crisler, we have it. Expecting to get some resolution on Williams today, we'll see how that goes. Anthony Evans out of Georgia is another name, of course. You know, State hosted him He is not scheduled to visit anywhere else. I mean, you never say never in that thing, but you start feeling a little more optimistic, kind of where things stand. And State gets the last visit there. State also got the last visit with Chrysler, and he ultimately went somewhere else. So the rules are not hard and fast. You always like to get that last visit. Gives you the opportunity to kind of make some play. But the reality of it is portal recruiting is just kind of a different animal. You know, it's not like it used to be in the old days where, you know, kids would take three or four visits in January and then ultimately announce on signing day where they were going to go. You know, so you really wanted that coveted last visit to make the impression. And young kids are a lot more impressionable, you know. So that's just kind of how things kind of work as we kind of move forward here. But you start thinking, okay, you have 21 portal signees, which precludes anybody else from signing them. Yeah, so what do you have left? Well, again, we got to get an offensive lineman somewhere and the guy that could play some tackle for us. In addition to that, you need a couple more receivers. And as I shared earlier this week, too, like some people were kind of being critical of Bumpus, and I'm like, you know, hey, Bump could have a big week and still can. You know, you start thinking about, you know, what's next, you know, for Mississippi State, and you begin to kind of recognize the fact that, you know, you got three receivers in now. You picked up Cam Thompson earlier this week. Aiden Williams, we expect that to work out for Mississippi State. Does that happen today? Does it happen tomorrow? Does it happen Saturday? I can't say for sure, but I think we get some clarity on that today, as before mentioned. And then there's Evans. And you start thinking about that aspect of it. If you're able to go out and add Glover from Michigan State, Power 5 guy. Marcus Allen, former Power 5 guy, was at Wisconsin for 2 years and then at Eastern Michigan. Then you get Cam Thompson, a guy that worked his way up from the FCS to the to the G5 and out of the SEC, and a guy that can also help you in returns. And then you have the probability of adding Aiden Williams and the possibility of adding Anthony Evans. Well, that's five receivers in the portal. And people tend to forget – you know, about last year's portal class, and we were excited about it. Of course, it was a much smaller class when it's all said and done, but everybody talked about that great, you know, portal class. Last year, our overall ranking was 35 through 247. Our transfer ranking was 45. I don't know if you remember that. Maybe you didn't. I don't know. But you pick up Trent Hudson, didn't do anything for us. You pick up Kevin Coleman, obviously a great receiver for us. And then Kelly Akari, who's a little bit banged up. You'd love to have had Kelly back, but that's the reality of life, right? But those are the only three guys you got out of the portal. And I would say one of those guys was a non-factor. One of them was the factor, and another one was a really good player for us that was a little bit banged up at times. And so when you begin to think about this portal class and last year's portal class as it relates to wide receivers, we've done better. Now, we had some guys go get in the portal as well, and that's always something you consider. But I don't think our high school recruiting wide receiver group is as good as last year. I think you guys would probably agree. Not that we didn't get some guys that can play, but I just think, you know, there's a lot more talent last year. Now, of course, Mario Craver's gone. J.J. Harrell is gone and never really played a meaningful snap at Mississippi State. And that's, you know, that's a surprise to a lot of people. But you start working through it now and you begin to kind of recognize it's about finding guys that can make some plays for us down the field. And having some veteran guys to kind of serve as a stopgap is an important aspect of this while these younger guys develop. Now, currently, as it stands, Mississippi State has the number 8 portal class in America. LSU is number 1. Texas Tech is 2. Tech is, you know, for a long time, Tech led. Ole Miss is 3. Auburn is 4. Florida State is 5. Nebraska 6. A&M 7. And then State right there at 8. Now, we're getting the benefit, too, of having a bigger class. We got the most in the SEC as far as portal commitments, and we expect to add 2 to 3 to possibly 4 more. And then we'll see how things look in the spring. That's one of the big questions. Like, well, Steve, what about corners? You know, we've got 2, you know, but I don't know that the talent pool was especially deep at corner. And I think the big mistake you can make if you're Mississippi State, if you go reach on a guy at a position of need when there may be equal or better talent in the portal in April. I would love to have everybody here for spring practice. We have reiterated that and stressed that multiple times. But, yeah, I think now what you do is you see what Diego Brumfield can do. You see what Williams can do and what Lewis can do. And then you can kind of assess. But we may have to overpay in the portal in the spring to get a corner. But I think it's pretty safe to say, unless somebody pops up here late, because you know these guys that are still playing playoff games still have the opportunity to enter the portal up to 5 days after their last game. So there may be somebody that pops up, and of course a lot of competition for those guys, but also too, not as many schools with spots available at this point. So we'll continue to monitor that situation, but as of now, I'm not expecting another corner in the winter window unless something kind of comes into focus in the next day or two. School starts on Monday. Now, that's not the last day, because you got all the way up into the drop add day, which is the 23rd. And even with that, there is a little wiggle room to work with. You know, we had that with Marcus Banks here a few years ago, Green, that transferred from Texas a little bit late. And so you have to kind of, you know, depend on the registrar's office to kind of give you a little bit of grace there. And you can typically make those things happen. But, you know, we're working through this process. And, again, I think this roster has changed dramatically since December. I think everybody kind of sees it for what it is. You sign 27 guys from the high school and the junior college ranks, and now so far you've got 21. That's 48 new Bulldogs plus Jamil Burrows, who signed at FAA and will enroll in the spring as well for Mississippi State. And, you know, we'll see what happens there too. But, you know, you talk about the fact that you got, you know, 85 spots to work with, right? I mean, it's crazy to think about that aspect of it and how so much has changed since Jeff Lebby got here. And I ran the numbers the other day. What is it, 17 scholarship players remain from the moment that Jeff Lebby stepped off that airplane? Pretty significant, right? And so it's going to be a much different team. And when you guys come to the spring game, you're probably going to need a program, if you can find one, or at least downloadable roster somewhere to kind of know who's who. We went through that last year, and we kind of had to kind of embrace this new and changing world in which we live in when it comes to college athletics. But in some respects, we're kind of desperate right now. And I don't mean that desperate in the negative sense. I mean desperate right now to bring change, to put a better product on the field next fall. Because if not, this time next year, I'm probably going to be talking about a different coach. You know, I mean, we went 2-10 this year. And I can tell you there was a lot of confidence in the building that we'd be able to get to 5 or 6. And, of course, that changes when you lose Blake Shapen. And you have to play a true freshman quarterback. And, again, I think getting Luke Cromanhawk basically is an even trade for Michael Van Buren. I don't think that we have regressed at that quarterback spot. And, of course, the future, you know, Kamario Taylor will also be here. And, you know, I shared this with you guys, too. If you are a subscriber to Gene's page, you've read this. Let me just kind of prepare you guys that maybe aren't subscribers, and you should be. You'd already have this information. But, you know, for January, here is, you know, a quick list of who is expected to enroll in January. So, in alphabetical order, linebacker Montrell Chapman, former Sal Panola star by way of Mississippi Gulf Coast Community College, former Louisiana Lafayette defensive lineman and East Mississippi guy Mason Clinton, Spencer Dowlin, former Auburn commitment, offensive lineman Grayson Harris, former Oklahoma commitment, Amika Aloy, tight end from Kahoma, LaKendrick James from Colin, Amarian Jefferson from Northeast, Kyle Johnson, of course, a four-star corner. We got a Bunky, Louisiana, flipped him from Houston. Anson Lewis, wide receiver from Columbia. And then Oak Grove, Tyler Lockhart. You remember all the drama that went with that. Hines Community College, offensive lineman Saquon Miles. Safety, Tony Mitchell, an Alabama bounce back. Defensive tackle, Jamarcus Moy. Linebacker, A.J. Rice from Madison Academy over in Alabama. Got family out in Crawford. Jakeem Shumpert from Northwest Mississippi Community College, an offensive lineman. Joseph Skipworth, former Kansas commitment, a tight end, heading in. Sekou Smith, of course, from Miami, and no relation to the former state rider. Jabrius Stewart, a guy from Mississippi Delta Community College that we think has a chance to really help us, at least on special teams this year. The guy's a freak of an athlete. Of course, we mentioned Kamario Taylor, Colin Wilson. So 20 of your high school and junior college transfers are slated to be moving in at Mississippi State and beginning class next week. Now, we got some late news at Laquavian Jackson. Lojack, I got it, were extremely high on. Was originally set to be a May graduate. They're working here now because it appears he has the credits to graduate to be able to enroll for the spring. Don't know if it's going to happen yet, but that would be 21 from the high school and the junior college ranks that joined the roster this spring. On the transfer side, there's Jerry Bledsoe, defensive lineman from Texas, Fluff Bothwell, running back from South Alabama, Jerron Glover, wide receiver from Michigan State, Darian Gallette, linebacker from Texas, Red Hibbler, defensive end from North Carolina State, Kobe Keenum, former interior lineman at Kentucky, Luke Krobenhock, the aforementioned quarterback from Florida State, Carson Lee, offensive lineman from Eastern Michigan, Dwight Lewis, a cornerback from Marion of the NAIA, Jerron Manning, former Colin star by way of Old Dominion. Guy, I think it's people are probably sleeping on him a little bit. Don't be surprised in spring practice if he didn't jump for you. Jesse Rommel, offensive lineman from James Madison. Deron Reed Jr., defensive lineman, a former four-star recruit that signed on with Auburn. This hadn't come together for him yet. Perhaps it will here. Nevaeh Sanders, pass rushing specialist from Northern Illinois. Jaywin Smith, linebacker from Tennessee. Malik Sela, defensive end, and edge from Texas A&M. Rasheem Thomas, defensive lineman that led the nation in tackles and FBS for defensive lineman in 2023. If he hadn't got injured in the summer, he probably would be getting drafted this year. Brennan Thompson, wide receiver from Oklahoma. Javen Williams, cornerback from Kennesaw State. And then Will Whitson, defensive lineman from Coastal Carolina. So it's 39 certain January enrollments, possibly 40. Now, the guys that were going to wait around the spring, Davion Jackson, of course, from Westgate High School down in New Iberia, had a chance to watch him play this year. Jaron Johnson, also a guy I got to see this year, running back out of Memphis. Really excited about him. Matthew LaFoe from Shasta College out in California will graduate in May and enroll here in June. Isaiah Mitchell, a flip from Cincinnati, wide receiver. Really like him a lot. Braden Turnage, offensive lineman, that flipped from Memphis to Mississippi State. Then Tyshawn Willis, a guy that's been true maroon through most of the process. So this roster has had a real makeover, and that needed to happen. We talk about, hey, I don't want to run it back what we did last year. I mean, the reality of it is even if we had everybody back, you just get a year bigger and better, and maybe you win a game or two more. But in order for us to make a dramatic improvement, we had to make first a dramatic improvement on the roster. And it appears that we've done that. Now, how good remains to be seen. There's, again, still some holes we have to fill. And, again, we're a couple receivers short. We feel like we're okay with a couple guys, really good with one. One guy we're cautiously optimistic about. But you may go in the spring needing to get one or two players. Now, you may also go through the spring and you may have some guys that were returners or guys that came in. You know, we saw that last year with Wilkie Denied. He comes in, didn't even finish the spring with us, and goes right back in the portal. And so you may have some guys that show up in January that leave you in April. So it's still a very fluid process until we get into the summer months. There's nothing to stop a guy that transfers in January from transferring out in April. And that's one of those rules, too, in the beginning that made perfect sense. You get the one-time transfer exception. And then they said, hey, now you get unlimited transfers. So there will be talent to be had in April, and there will be spots that come available in April. And a lot of that, too, is going to be based on how guys perform in April. We're not going to keep guys around. They can't play. They can't help us. And so that's where things stand in that respect. And I suspect when we get together again on Monday, we'll have a spot or two, maybe three, filled by then. You know, Maquise Grace is a guy that's down in Kentucky, Georgia, and Mississippi State. Mississippi State's been with him kind of throughout the process. Kentucky kind of jumped on him too. Georgia's kind of a latecomer to the party, but it's Georgia. You know, and let's be honest about it too. As I just shared on Wednesday's show, you know, all things considered, sometimes the prestige of Georgia is going to outweigh a little bit bigger NIL offer. That's important to understand. I don't think that we're just going to chase another defensive lineman. I don't, but I think this is a scenario where Grace is just too good to pass on. Of course, you know, we had Devontae Miles, a defensive tackle from Bowling Green, I guess it was here a couple days ago, and he's visiting South Carolina, maybe visiting Georgia, and it's like you look at the numbers and say, well, where does this SEC interest come from? Well, he's a true three tech. There's not a lot of those guys out there. We could certainly use an interior guy, but we'll see how Mississippi State chooses to play it here in the final days of this process, at least with the winter window. And I know a lot of people in the SEAL complex that are just kind of ready to get things settled and get the guys on campus and get to work. And that's the most important thing about it now. You know, you get these guys to campus, get them in school, get them in your strength and conditioning program, get them with your nutrition specialist, and prepare them to hit the practice field this spring. Then you kind of assess where you are and then kind of move forward into summer workouts. And next thing you know it, we'll be heading down playing Southern Miss. You know, it'll be here before you know it. It's just over 7.5 months, and so much has to happen between now and then. But the thing that I believe today is that now you have the pieces to kind of move this thing forward. Guys, we discussed it last year from the spring to the summer all the way into fall camp about how incredibly anemic our depth was at defensive line. And again, you go back and look at, you know, Eric Taylor gets dismissed. You know, I mean, it's just a handful of those guys that we were hoping to come in there and get us 20 to 25 snaps a game. And then ultimately we're left playing, you know, some newcomers. And I don't just mean transfer guys, but, you know, like Kyle McClendon, a freshman from Gulfport, had played 1 year defensive line football, having to start in the Southeastern Conference. Corey Coleman, a guy that didn't have anywhere to go. And we bring him in the summer, and he has to go play meaningful snaps in the Southeastern Conference. And I think that illustrates how poor things were on the defensive line. We've addressed that issue. You got a lot of big body guys that have FBS experience, and you've got a couple of JUCO guys to kind of come in there too as guys that could be rotation guys. And they have multiple years of eligibility to work with there. And so that's an important aspect of this, is your staff has gone out there, identified the needs, identified the pieces that they believe can enact change on your football roster, and they've gone out and gotten them. And we're still a few spots away from being finished in the winter window. But I think it's pretty safe to say that we have done a good job flipping this roster. And good luck this weekend, right? All right, we'll be back on Monday, hopefully recapping a big Mississippi State men's basketball win over Kentucky. And be great for the ladies to pick up a win at Georgia, too. We'd love to have a winning weekend in basketball. But all the eyes, of course, are on Humphrey Coliseum for that Saturday night deal. And it's the toughest ticket in town. And be careful out there. Be careful in those Facebook groups. You know, work with a reputable third-party vendor and don't think, oh, well, hey, there's a guy on Facebook. We want to sell him for face value. If you don't have a relationship with them, do not buy from them. You're going to end up cash-apping them some money, and they're going to block you, and you're not going to have any tickets. You're going to be out your hard-earned cash. Be careful with that. I know so many of you want to be here, but make sure you're getting tickets from somebody you know or from a website you can trust. If you hadn't done so, go to DutyNobleBook.com. All my sports titles are there, including The Dude, which is one of the best-selling books in Mississippi. I've been nominated for some pretty prestigious awards. You just never know what's going to happen. The kid may win something. Wouldn't that be cool? In addition to that, too, When the Bottom Falls is there. That's a book about my recovery, what it took to get sober, what it led to me getting sober, and what it's been like to kind of maintain sobriety for 30-plus years. So if you are a person in recovery or you just like to read a good comeback story and root for the underdog, that book may be for you. Come float with us over at True Rest Float Spa of Star. We've been very busy. We'll see what happens this afternoon. We are closed this morning due to the roads. We live out in the sticks. You know, we got a gravel driveway, so not always the easiest to navigate when there is winter weather. But dial 662-268-7601, and you'll be able to kind of find out more about, you know, the floating opportunities there. And it's not just like floating in your pool. You're in 1,200 pounds of magnesium-infused Epsom salt that allows you to float effortlessly on top of the water. And you've probably never experienced anything quite like that. Well, neither has your body. So as a result, it puts it in a situation where it's weightless and gives you an opportunity to kind of get a mental reset and perhaps help you with some anxiety or perhaps some chronic pain. And maybe you don't have any of those issues. You just need a break. We can help you with that. We'd love to have you come down and be a part of that. And of course, always go meet us over at jeanspage.com, the premier Mississippi State athletic site in the history of the world. It's true. It's true. Doing better than ever. So come be a part of that. We look forward to you guys having a good weekend. And again, hope it's a payday for you. Get out and have some fun. Don't take any chances with the highways. Don't get out unless you're absolutely necessary. There's just no reason to do that. I know it's fun to get out and take the kids around, take pictures of the snow and things like that. But a lot of these rescue vehicles and things like that need the roadways to go attend to your neighbors, right? So maybe stick around the house today. Make some hot cocoa, get the fire going, maybe turn on some Netflix and just kind of enjoy a bit of a day off. And, you know, should be a good weekend for us. But, you know, we need some good things to happen on the recruiting trail to close this thing out and some things to happen on the basketball courts of the Southeastern Conference to make us feel even better about things. I hope that you guys have a great, great weekend. And if you're able to come to Humphrey Coliseum, please yell out. We're going to need you to make that a very hostile environment. We don't need to be jerks, but we need to make it tough and come support the Bulldogs. I think we're ready to take the next step as a program under Coach Chris Jans, and I think that takes place on Saturday night. Until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. And now, save 50% on the new Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed. Limited time. Exclusively at a Sleep Number store near you. Learn more at sleepnumber.com.